You know, Melanie was in a very bad wreck when she was carrying Christian. How long, far along were you, Melanie? So we were about halfway along. And she had a terrible wreck. She was in my Firebird. I used to have a cool car if I had a family. And it was my 1987 red Firebird, and this was in 1992. So it was red with limousine, two coats of limousine tint on the windows, illegal, by the way. And chrome saw blade mags with three-point spinners and a big boom box in the back and the word Firebird in red letters, vinyl letters across the windshield. I mean, I was chilling. I looked good. T-tops. And back then I had hair that could blow. And so she's in my car. And we're getting ready to go to church service, actually. Our home church had a revival, so we was getting ready to go. Melanie had to go get something to eat for church. So she went to Wendy's. And she, a cop got behind her, and she was nervous about my windows. So she tried to cut off, hoping he would go the other way, which he did. But the road she was on, she wasn't very familiar with. And she didn't know there's a kind of a blind curve and a stop sign. She didn't know there was a stop sign there. So she goes right across a major intersection and T-bones a van. And Melanie's going about 45 miles an hour. Just T-bones a van, spins it around. My car turned completely around, faced another direction across the street. You know what a Firebird looks like, got that long nose. It was crushed from the tip all the way to the windshield. And I got a phone call. I heard sirens, and I knew that was her. For some reason, in my spirit, I don't think that way, but I knew that was her. I got a phone call. A guy says, "Is this James Lewis?" I said, "Yes." I'm just holding my breath. I'm out of my God. And he says, "Your wife has been in a wreck, but she's okay. She's fine. She's okay." And said, "Tell me where it was." And man, I got there and I flew and she saw me and, you know, she's hugging me and crying and, you know, "I'm sorry about your car." I said, "I know, darn it." I didn't say that. I said, "Melanie, I'm just glad you're okay. It's all that matters. I'm glad you're okay." But that could have been devastating. I mean, it could have took her life. She walked away from that accident with not even a bruise. I mean, just absolutely nothing. No issues. The baby, I think you did go get checked out, make sure the baby's okay. And nothing. Everything was fine. And so God's hand was on my wife. He was the protector. God saw that scene. He saw it ahead of time. And God's hand of provision was in place to watch over and protect her. So, you know, when Connie shared that, we've been there too in situations where I've seen it firsthand, and I know you have too, seen it firsthand, of how quickly life can change in a moment, in an instant. You know, I'm not a race fan, but if you go back to when Dale Earnhardt died, you know, you see that wreck, and you're like, that killed him? Because it didn't look like anything. And we've seen cars flip and burn, and people walk away. He hit a wall, and boom, gone. You never know how life's going to be. But if you're saved and you're a child of God, here's what life's going to be. We're going to get into it. Romans 8. Looking at eyes to eternity. You know, we measure everything in life. We measure it by time. You know, we measure things. We have special birthdays, right? I guess the first big special birthday is the double-digit birthday, right? I'm 10. I'm double digits. That's a big deal. The next big birthday is what? 13. I'm a teenager. Pray for all God's children. I'm a teenager. Then after 13, the next big one is 16, because you can drive. Pray even harder, right? Then the next big one is 18, like this young lady is now. And she is a legal, isn't this scary, Gail? A legal adult. A legal adult, 18. Then the next big birthday, 21. Then you're really a legal adult. You become alcoholic legally. Then, the next big birthday, 30, because you left your 20s. Then after then, you're like, you stop counting pretty much, right? Then you go through your midlife and all that. Now, here's how you know you're getting old. Well, you start honoring birthdays again. I'm 70. You know, I'm glad to be alive. I'm 70. I'm 75. I'm 84 today. I'm 92. And they're just teasing. I'm not with their teeth. They're not teeth. I'm 92. They're happy. See, you don't talk about birthdays from about 40 to about 70. You know, you kind of got a gap there. But then you start celebrating again. So we measure everything by time. Everything. We retire at 62 or 65 or 60. For me, it's 67 and a half, I think. Whatever now it is. So, you know, we have that certain age. Everything's by time. Everything we measure. And we think we live 80 years, lived a good life. By nature, maybe so. By eternity, nothing. If we can learn to look at life through the eyes of eternity, that no matter what season we're in, it's temporal. It's just temporary. No matter what storm we're in, it's temporary. No matter what battle we face, it's temporary. Everything is temporary because it's going to yield itself to eternity. It's all going to be swallowed up in eternity. It's all going to be devoured and given up through eternity. So if we can learn to look at that, to realize, okay, I'm not going to let every single storm set me back anymore. I'm not going to let every single wave that comes my way push me down. I'm not going to let every single thing that goes wrong define my day and my life. I'm going to make a decision to say, you know what? I'm looking at my eyes, life through eternity, and no more will I be limited to my joy being based on what I face today. But my joy will be based on what I'm going to face tomorrow. And that's my eternity. That's why we can be happy. That's why you see old saints of God, they're in a hospital and they're sick and they're dying. You see old saints that are laying there and they got such peace. I'm just ready to go on. I'm ready. I'm fine. I win. You know, if God wants me, I'm ready. I'm here. I know what I'm walking into. We have such a release and a peace because we know we have an inheritance waiting on us that this world can't hold. And I believe that. I believe our soul lives forever. I believe that when we leave our body, we are still alive and well forever somewhere. It doesn't just stop existing because we're in a casket. But that soul, that awareness, that conscious living, it goes forward and goes on. Let's see what Paul says in Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. 16, I'm sorry. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. You know what an heir, the word heir, if you look it up in the Greek text, the word heir means inheritor, possessor, sharer. We are possessors of what God has for us. We're going to inherit what God prepared for us, and we are sharers in all that he has because we're heirs. We know what an heir is. You know, we know what an heir is. Wouldn't you love to be an heir of a rich old uncle you didn't know? I always say that, right? You get a phone call. Are you James Lewis? You had an uncle that lived in Montana. Oh, really? How's he doing? He's dead. Oh, I hate to hear that. But he left you $10 million. Oh, okay. Poor uncle. He's a good man. I mean, you don't even know him, right? But you're the heir. We're trying to track down the only one available to his inheritance, and you're the closest heir. We are God's heirs, which means that we are going to inherit and possess all that he has for us in eternity. We're going to share that. What a wonderful thing to know God's called us heirs, not just children, but heirs. Because see, we can have a child not be an heir. Do you realize that? People write children out of the will, don't they? Because they're bad or irresponsible or, you know, I'm going to leave it to somebody else. I ain't trusting my child with that inheritance. I'll leave it to my nephew, or I'll leave it to a friend, or whoever. I'll leave it to whatever. Just because you're a child don't mean you're an heir, necessarily. An heir is different. An heir means I'm going to receive and be a part of what God has when my time comes. We are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. But we've got to look in the future. See, we can't get past our present to ever see what the real big picture is. What the real future for us holds. It's not what we see here. It's not what we have here. We're going to go through battles and storms. We're going to go through sickness. And we're going to go through all kinds of issues. We're going to go through hell on earth many times of our lives. We're going to go through things we ask God why. I don't understand, God. Why am I going through this? I serve you. I love you. Why am I going through this? But look at the big picture. Don't we win? Yes, we win. So look, okay, we may be going through some things here. But it's only temporary, it's only short-lived, and it all will pass away. All the struggle and all the pain. Look at us now, how fast time flies already. I mean, I don't feel like I'm the age I am. I know I am. I recognize that. I'm not in denial. I know I am what I am. I know when I was born, I can't change that. I am so many years old. And say I'm in that age group, I don't always advertise. See what I'm saying? Now, if I was 84, I'd be saying, I'm up here pastoring with fire, and I'm still 84, y'all. But I say, I ain't going to say that now. I'm in that gap. But you know what? I look at my age and say, man, I cannot believe I'm blank, blank years old. Most of y'all know, but I'm like, man, I can't believe that. I mean, I remember thinking my dad was, you know, old when I was little. You know, you think your parents were old, right? And I'm like, you know, I'm the age now that my dad was when he was become a grandpa. I could be a grandpa. I am old enough. I'm really old enough. And I'm not talking about, you know, a kid at 14 or 15 having a kid. I'm old enough to have a legit, I could legitimately be a grandfather. Legitimately, at a decent age for my child. I mean, my child decent age. That I could be a grandpa. I don't like no grandpa. He's like a grandpa, Bruce. He's really old. I think I'm old. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking. But you know what? Time goes by so quickly, and I realize, you know, eternity's coming up for all of us. I've lived this many years already. I see my parents. My dad had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Dad. Had a very birthday, and I'm not gonna tell you his age, but it's not one of the big ages. But in his own mind, he's kind of crossed a little threshold. But anyway, and then Gail's birthday is today. Is that right, Gail? Gail has a birthday today. So, and you don't look your age at all, brother. You're doing good. I don't know what you're eating or drinking, but keep doing it. But I look at my parents, and I'm like, man, my dad is now blank, blank years old. I can't believe that. How'd that happen? I mean, time just accelerates as you grow older. Don't Christmas come a lot faster the older you get? When you're a kid, it's like 5 years between, right? When you're 9 years old, 8 years old, like, man, Christmas taking forever. Oh, my gosh. And now as a parent, you're like, I just paid the Visa off. It's Christmas again. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's kind of how it rolls. It just keeps on. So when you think of eternity means never ending, always going on. So if we live 80, 90 years on earth, and a lot of us are halfway there, way beyond halfway there, we realize, wow, I've got less years on the earth than I have lived on the earth now. I've got less years left than what I've lived. For in the natural, I mean. But when you think of eternity, no. I love what Bruce says. It's not that we're leaving, we're arriving. That was good. I think that's what you said. That's what you said. We're not leaving, we're arriving. So I thought that was good. When a saint goes home, we're not leaving, we're arriving. I mean, think about this. Pretend you're at an airport and God's the PA guy. Attention, Bruce Hedrick. Please report to gate A6. We are here waiting on you. Please bring your luggage. We will take you. And you get to that, and here, you know, here it is, and they're waiting on him, and he's arrived. I mean, he has arrived. We're not departing anything. We're arriving in our eternity. So the reason this message to me is so important is we have a lot of miserable people. And I mean miserable Christians. Miserable Christians that are just, they've been so bound with problems, and we've let the devil come in and rob us of our peace and our joy of living. And I'm talking about me too, because we go through seasons that are hard. We go through times of change. And we need to recognize where we're going and where our final destination is. And if we know that, I mean, think about this. If many knew that at the end of the year, November the 6th, that she was going to have an all expense paid 2-week vacation to Hawaii. It'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? She would look forward to that. I guess, do you fly? Oh, okay. Well, you can drive and then take a boat. You know what? We'd be marking that calendar, November 6th, Hawaii trip. We'd be counting that thing down. And you know what? Our kids would be causing a hard time. What was the first thing we'd say? I ain't worried about it. I'm going to Hawaii in November. The bills would be piling up. I can't pay my bills. Oh, well, I'm going to Hawaii in November. We would be so focused on that trip of being so excited that was be all. We have Hawaii countdown on our cell phone. It'd be playing Hawaii 5-0. Na 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 na. We'd have a countdown, Hawaii, 6 months, 3 days, whatever. And that's all we'd be focused on, was that trip. Well, you know what? We got a trip waiting on us. We got a vacation waiting on us. We got a destiny waiting on us. in the glory of God, in the kingdom of God. That's far beyond anything this world offers. So we can endure some stuff to know where we're going. Look what Paul says in verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering, now the word reckon means suppose, it means I've concluded, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is no suffering that even comes close to the glory God is waiting to reveal inside of us. That's why we can smile every day knowing I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to the kingdom of God. Every day I live, I'm a step closer to the glory being revealed in me. Every day. Nobody knows that day, but every day we live as children of God, we are a day closer to that glory being revealed in us. We must become more kingdom-minded and less earthly-minded, more eternity-minded and less temporal-minded, and realize, why am I letting the things of this life keep me back from walking in the victory and joy I have that God's got waiting on me? Because I know my destination. I know where I'm heading. I know where I'm going. And I can suffer a lot of stuff. Paul suffered a lot of stuff in his ministry. Paul was, you know, in prison many times, beaten many times, stoned many times, cast out of towns, all that for the sake of Christ. And he said, you know what? I can suffer those things. I know what God's got waiting on me. It's just the prize is worth it. The prize is absolutely worth it. It's kind of like when you want to lose weight and you turn out all the good stuff, the cake, the pizza, the hamburger, the fries. Then you look in the mirror at yourself and you're like, whew, man, I look good. It was worth turning that pizza down because I can get back in my skinny jeans. It was worth turning all that cake down because look at me now. Because everywhere I go, you've lost weight, haven't you? You lost weight. And you just love hearing that, huh? Say a little, yeah, I've lost weight. And we're just so proud. If it's 2 pounds, right? You get on the scales, 2 pounds. I lost 2 pounds. And you go to work. Can you tell I lost weight? I've lost 2 pounds. No. But we're excited about that. It's worth it. There's things in life that are worth it for the sacrifice. It's worth having a good marriage to sacrifice all the stuff that can break a marriage. It's worth it. There's pleasures. There's stuff that we can get involved with. There's things in life that can, but you know what? When something's worth something, it's worth going through things that maybe aren't so good and bad times to know what you really got. See, there's not but one Melanie. Not but one Melanie. And no other person I'd want but Melanie. Even her bad times, I want Melanie. If I was someone else, I would say, you don't fuss like Melanie does. You don't nag like Melanie. You're not at all like Melanie, are you? Nope, because they've won Melanie. And you know what? It's worth all the ups and downs of marriage if you got the right one to fight for it and make it work. So in eternity, the kingdom of God, Paul said what? Keep our eyes on the prize. He says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Paul had one thing in mind in most of his messages, the finish line. One thing in mind, the finish line. I want to finish what I started. I want to cross over, and he says, Paul says over in another book, anyway, he says that I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And then he goes on to say this, not just for me, but for all of those who love his appearing. For all of us who cross the line. I want you to picture this. You know, Ashley ran cross country last year from North Middle, and we'd go to all her little, you know, meets, and all these kids would be running. They'd run 2 miles. And there was a, you know, finish line. Of course, they would all cross. We'd all be at that finish line cheering all the kids on as they come across. Every single person always finished. Some were slower, some were faster, but every single kid always finished. They always crossed that line. Different intervals, different times. I think about the kingdom of God, how Gene crossed at a different time than you did, how Grandpa crossed at a different time than my grandma did, how Charles crossed at a different time that you'll cross. How each of us have our own crossing. And as those kids run across the line, they all finish the race. They're all running. And I imagine God as you cross that line with your crown. Imagine a physical crown, just for a picture's sake, physical crown. Here comes Linda. Welcome, my child. Here comes Carol. Welcome, my child. Lindra, welcome, my child. Bruce, welcome, my child. Each one of us have this welcoming crown waiting on us when we cross the line, when we finish our course. Our course is called earth, and the finish line is called heaven. We have an earthly course we have to travel. There's bumps on that course. There's things we don't like on that course. There's storms on that course. There's obstacles on that course. There's things that we wish wasn't on our course. We're like, God, I don't like going through this. Why am I going through this? We've all had that. You know, if you have more than one kid, they're always different. Like night and day. My three kids couldn't be more different. They come from three different parents. Couldn't be more different. Each one is unique in their own way. Each one of us is unique in our own way, in God's eyes. And each one of us will cross that line. And when we cross that line, God will tell us, welcome home, you have arrived. You have arrived at your destination. Keep eternity in mind. It makes life so much better when we know where we're going to end up. See, what hurts people, they don't know where they're going to end up. They're lost and they're tormented by the enemy. Even Christians, there are Christians, and I'm going to tell you, there are Christians that still don't understand what grace is. And they live their lives tormented. Am I going to make it into heaven? Am I going to cross the line? Have I done enough? Have I done this? All that's the wrong mentality. When we know who the author and finisher of our faith is, Christ Jesus, we can take it to the bank that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no man can ever erase it once that's written in there. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're sealed. Our down payment is the Holy Spirit until the rest of the payment's paid in full, which is when we cross the finish line. And God says, welcome home. Here's the rest of your payment. Behold what your eyes will see. Behold what your ears will hear. Familiar faces, the song says, gathered around. There'll be no one feeble or old anymore. There'll be no more canes, no more bad feet, no more bad knees, no more arthritis, no more mind problems, no more eye problems, no more ear problems, no more pain in our mortal bodies whatsoever. Nothing but freedom from all of that. Nothing but complete healing. Nothing but complete deliverance. Nothing but divine presence of God all of our days. Won't it be nice to get out of bed and not hurt? Won't it be nice to be able to walk and be able to breathe having to stop 10 times to be able to breathe? Won't it be nice to have no strongholds, no addictions, nothing, no bondages in our lives, but all of that just being set free to be liberated in the presence of God like we were meant to be in the very beginning? That's our hope and that's our promise. Go to the next scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you. What does this tell us? That we're not left for dead. We're not going to be left for dead. We, each of us, are raised up by the same power that raised Christ from the tomb, raises us from our dead works, our deadness, into his eternal life. We will not be left dormant. We are not going to be left dead. We are in the presence of God because our soul was immortal. And it goes on. He's going to raise us up. Look at the next verse. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause, now look at this verse, we faint not. Don't faint, church. Your hour, man, may be perishing. Yeah. Losing hair, growing gray, getting wrinkles, walking slower, walking bent, having problems, you know, having more medication, whatever. Our outward man, as we grow older, is going to perish. But the inward man, what's important? The real us, the soul, the life God gave us, it is renewed day by day. In other words, in our old age, we can be strong on the inside because we see our destination. We know where we're going. We know when we're going to arrive. We say, God, I've got this waiting on me, so I'll be renewed inside knowing I'm going to wear a crown, knowing I'm going to be restored, knowing I'm going to be healed, knowing my outward man will also be renewed when I have that appointment. So yeah, we grow old. Yeah, we grow a little slower. Can't see at night like we used to, you know, whatever. And we look in a mirror and we're discouraged because we look in our high school annual. Who is that? I mean, my God, look back at your wedding picture. Wow. I mean, Joe looked like Rock Hudson when he got married. You talking about a good looking guy? Who is that? That's you, Joe? Good gracious. Now he's Rex Butler with that mustache going on there. Look back years ago, you don't even hardly. Remember the Andy Griffith where they had the high school reunion and they got the annuals out trying to figure out who was who? Hey, Andy, who's that? Good gosh, is that her? Who is this? And, you know, they didn't even know who they were because they had changed so much. I went to my 20th high school reunion and a lot of the people I knew. And, of course, you know, I'm like every other human being. I was hoping somebody there was fatter than me. Can I be honest? So these guys walked in. I'd be like, man, Melanie, because Melanie went with me. I said, he blew up. You know, here I am. He blew up. And I mean, it's so evil, isn't it? When they walk in, I'd be like, almost smiling. Wow. And he was so hot in school and had all the girls. Look at him now. Melanie, you could have had him. Aren't you glad? He was hot stuff in school. Now look at him. Pillsbury Doughboy. And then some guys were balder than me. I liked that. Now, some of them wasn't. Some of them still, I hated them. Now, see, just as I was smiling at the bald-headed guys, my Lord, they got less hair than me. Others come in with their Fabio look still. I'm like, how did you, you're 40-something years old, you still got hair? I don't like you very much. It's not fair. I always said male pattern baldness was a curse from Adam, but if that's the case, all men be bald, right? So maybe it's just the ones that don't do right, like me. I don't know. But you see, after 20 years of high school, all the guys, all of a sudden now they changed, they looked older, some of them are completely gray, all this. It's like, wow, Father Time catches up with everybody, right? Everybody. So, do you know Tom Selleck is how old? 70 years old now? Tom Selleck. Anybody grew up watching Tom Selleck? Magnum P.I.? Oh, wow. He's 70 years old. And you know what's caught with him, too? Of course, Melanie says still look hot, but point is, he's 70. He's 70 years old. Father Time catches up with everybody. And so, though our outward man does perish, the inward man, our confidence level can be like, God, every day I'm growing older, I'm growing closer. Every day I age on the earth, I'm closer to the entrance of heaven. Every day I see the gray in my hair grow, I'm going to see the glory of you revealed. That's how we grow inside, knowing I'm closer than I was yesterday. I'm closer than I was last year. I'm closer. Don't look at growing old as sad. Look at it as growing closer to your final inheritance of what God has for you. God, I'm ready to walk into what you've got for me because it's waiting on me. I'm going to look at my eyes through eternity, not just through a limited 40 or 50, 60 years of my life. But God, I'm going to look far beyond that and realize there's loved ones I want to see. There's loved ones I'm going to see. There's loved ones waiting on me. There's loved ones to receive me when I'm there. And it just, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I can't imagine. The Bible is very vague, honestly, on a lot of things about heaven. You know, Revelation talks about things which, you know, symbolic or not symbolic, but there's not a real clear picture on what heaven really is like. But I believe with all of my heart, it'll be all that more than we could ever imagine. And I believe that it truly is a place of eternity. People say, what are we doing all the time? I don't want to live forever. I mean, I don't want to do, it's not going to be like this rim. It's a whole different parallel rim. It's just, you know, I don't know. I just know it's going to be good. I just know Joe will be able to dance again if he wants to dance. I just know that our eyes will be healed, our ears will be healed, our lives will be healed, and those that we've lost, that we missed, that we loved, we will be reunited, rejoined together, fellowshipping and sharing and seeing each other always. And it'll be like, I said before, it's almost like earth will be a dream. That's the way I've always felt, that earth will be like the dream. That we're there, it'll be like, man, I had this dream that I was a preacher and I worked at Walmart and Food Line and I was, you know, married and we had a dog named Hunter and a turtle named Cecil and a cat named Sophie and a goldfish we put down a commode. Which is, I remember living that life. You ain't seen a goldfish, have you? I'm living that life. And it's like, wow. Because, see, in our life in eternity is oblique. I was thinking about this. For you that like stats, think about this. It's pretty clear throughout studying the Bible that Adam was created 26,000 to 7,000 years ago. If you do Bible history. Now, the earth's been here much longer. I realize that. But the creation of man in God's image, 6,000 to 7,000 years. So I figure in my age, where I am now, well, actually I was figuring 80 years old. If you live to be 80 years old, you've only lived 1% of that time span from Adam. Your life only spans 1% of that, of just that time period of 6,000 years. 1%. So think about eternity. We're just a blink on the radar. Just a blink compared to eternity. But boy, we got something great going for us. Look at this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Look what Paul says, a moment. We don't feel that way, do we? We're like, my God, when is this season going to end? You ever felt that way? Good Lord, are you serious? How long can it snow? It's June, and I'm still freezing. I'm talking metaphorically now. I'm still in winter. My God, when is my spring come? When can I smell the flowers again and, you know, look at the birds and the bees and have fun? God, but for a moment, are you kidding me, Paul? My affliction for a moment. Now, this is a man that had credentials to be able to say this. Remember, he was beaten. He was in prison. He was stoned. He was thrown out of town over and over preaching Jesus. But yet, he says, this light affliction is but for a moment. It's just so temporary. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what's waiting on us. An eternal weight of glory. So I can endure some stuff on the earth. I can endure some pain because I know what's coming. I know in the end who wins. I know in the end what I get. I know in the end what the prize is. It's God. His kingdom. So you know what? I'm going to start being happy again and enjoying life and enjoying the seasons that I'm in. Some seasons aren't as fun as others. But you know what? As Bruce said, you wake up every day giving God praise, giving Him thanks, putting Him first in your day. All of a sudden, that kind of sets the tone for the whole day. When you do that, this is the day, Lord, that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is your day, God. No matter what things bring, a glory will be revealed in me. No matter what news I get today, there's a greater glory coming for me. It's temporary. Every storm is temporary. Every season is temporary. It's going to give birth to something so much deeper and greater than what you're experiencing now. Paul said back in Romans, it don't even compare. It don't even compare. They're not even close. If I offered you a nice juicy pear or a nice juicy piece of pizza right now, which one would you pick? Yeah, amen. I don't even like pears. They're gritty. I don't like a pear. And they're shaped funny. Freaks me out. Anyway, they don't even compare. I mean, think about it. Somebody, you know, at work tomorrow, somebody go makes a lunch run. Hey, Stacy, what do you want for lunch? You want pizza or a pear? I mean, that don't even make sense. Paul said, don't even compare what God has for what you're going through now. So live life with victory. Live life with joy. Live life with peace and live life with expectation that one day when all is said and done, all of this will be washed away and you'll be able to enjoy the fruits of your faith forever. Is there another verse or is that it? I thought that was it. Did you say good?
No.
Oh. Our light afflictions, but for a moment. Look at eyes through eternity, not limited here to our short span here, but look at life all the way through. We're on a journey. We are on a journey. Anybody ever hiked the Stone Mountain? Anybody been to the summit, all the way to the summit? That's a hard hike, ain't it? I mean, that's pretty steep going up there. You know what? That journey's can tucker you out. You get up toward that end, it starts winding where that fence rail is. I'm give out, man. I'm like, whew, good gosh. And yeah, right. You got to take some coffee breaks, don't you? And you know what? The last time I went, I stopped just one time, just once. I stopped once on the way up. Trying to make it all the way, but I'm like, well, I don't want to have a heart attack because nobody's out here to get me by myself. So I better stop one time. And I almost said, you know what? This is, I've been here before. And I'm like, you know, I remember thinking, is it worth the climb? It's such a hard, steep climb. Is it really worth the climb to go up and see a bunch of mountains? But then once you get up there, you feel one thing, you feel accomplished. Don't you feel accomplished, Dad? You got up there without dying, right? You feel accomplished. Okay, I made it. Woo! And you sit down up there on that flat surface rocks up there, and you have mountains all around you can see. And it's quiet, and you're above all the noise. You're about 3,000 feet right there, or 2,500, something like that. And you're above the noise, and it's quiet, and it's a beautiful view. And you're sitting there, and you're like, yeah, it was worth the climb. It was worth the climb to see what I'm seeing right now. Because there's no other way I could have saw that but climb it. And thank God I did it the way I did it, Steve. When I was up there last time, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear people down in front of me. They're, you know what they did? They rock climbed from the base all the way up and come up the other end. I was like, oh, my gosh. Took them 2 hours, they said, to get up there rock climbing it. 2 hours, about a 45-minute probably hike on foot, 30, 45 minutes. But they rock climb. They come the real hard way. But our journey can be hard sometimes. I understand that. We can get tired. But when we know what the end picture is going to be, we can finish the race. God, I'm going to finish the race. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. We get persecuted. We get challenged. We lose our own, with so much the liberal world in our face all the time, shooting all the liberalism out in our minds and, just completely just trying to demoralize our country in many ways. It's hard to be a Christian because what happens, the devil begins to put that down in our minds. Well, and we become like the boiling frog, slowly adapting to the world system. Instead of saying, no, I want to follow you, Jesus. And we'll follow you and you alone. Know the way, know the truth, know the life, know the name but you. Because I know what I get in the end by following you. I know what I get. When we follow Jesus, we'll get everything he said we'll have. No doubt about that. He's worth following. He's worth the journey. He's worth climbing that mountain. He's worth finishing the race. Finish the race, church. Do not be discouraged by your storms, because your storms have nothing to do with your inheritance in the future. Nothing to do, because you're still going to cross over. It's just how you're going to cross over, with victory or with defeat. How you going to live life here, victory or defeat, sorrow or joy, peace or torment. How you going to live it? Live it with victory. Live it with joy. Live it with peace. Knowing one day the physician of all physicians will call you in and you'll be healed of all things. And we're going to celebrate forever in the glory and presence of God. That's our promise, and that's our hope. Paul says, if all I had was in this life, I'd be a miserable man. I'd be miserable. If it's all there was. Church, think about it, because life can be hard. What if this is all you had? You know why people question life? Because people ask me, say, I don't understand life. You're born, you have problems, you have sickness, you grow old, and then you die. What's the point? What's the point of life? Because it's our journey to the finish line. It's our journey, church. This is our journey. That's the purpose of it. It's our journey to the finish line. So we can endure a lot of things knowing what our future holds. And for me, I know what my future holds. I'm far from perfect. I made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things I'm ashamed of. But I thank God that my crown of righteousness has my name on it. And it's waiting on my arrival. It's put back in a special place, waiting for James to cross over. When James crosses over, welcome home, heir, joint heir, and son of mine. Behold, all you have to share with me. You're an inheritor, you're a possessor, you're a sharer, because you're an heir. My God, have hope. I want you to leave here living life differently. Have hope. Because the hope of the future, we can have joy in the present. We can have it because we win. Hallelujah. Bruce, get ready to do a closeout song for us, would you, for our offering, whatever's on your heart. Have hope, church. The Lord is good. The finish line is in place, and each of us that cross it will inherit our prize. Press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Start seeing life different eyes. We are not departing, we are arriving. I like that.
You said it.
Well, you don't want to say it earlier up here, remember?
You said it years ago.
Oh, did? Oh, yeah, I said it first.
I distorted in my
oh.
spiritual life.
Oh, okay, well, thank you. Ushers, come on up. Give you a chance to give your offering and tithes today to the Lord. Make sure you get your newsletters. We've got the new February newsletter on the table. If you haven't got one, grab on the way out. Also, we have our new membership cards for the year. If you have not joined the church officially, you've not done a membership card and you want to be part of church, the card's on the table. Grab a card, fill it out. There are some advantages to being part of church. And the back of the card tells you what those are. Also, kind of plugs you in to where, hey, I'm here to serve, I'm here to help, I'm here to stay, I'm here if you need me. So it makes us part of a family. If you have changed your address, if you have moved or changed phone numbers in the last year since you filled your card out, please get another card and update that for us. If you moved or changed your number since last year, since last January, if you could update that so we have current information, that would be great. But grab on the way out. Also, Tic Tac meeting tonight for our youth, 5 o'clock. Goes from 5 to 6:30. You'll be home in time for the Super Bowl or right at it, kickoff. So be here for that. Also, Randy's having a teacher meeting tonight and says any parents, just for tonight, Christian, just for tonight, any parents that want to stay, the teacher meeting, that bring their kids, that want to stay and kind of see what it's all about, helping out with the kids, you're welcome to stay this evening back there because they'll be in here and they'll teachers will be out there. So teacher meeting at 5 o'clock for those interested, Tic Tac at 5 o'clock for all our teens. So be here for that. We're very excited, and we had 6 teens the first Sunday, had 8 teens last week. So we're very excited about what God's will do there and looking for a lot of growth and a lot of change for our youth as they grow their walk with God. So if you can be a part of that, please come out and support that and get your kids involved. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that we have a hope and a glory waiting to be revealed in us. We thank you that every storm here is temporary. Every trial will eventually go away. Every season will end. And one day we'll all, as your people, walk into our final season, a season of destiny. The whole earth groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Your Bible, your word says, God, the whole earth's groaning. They're travailing. They're waiting. And we will one day fulfill that mandate. We will one day walk into that manifestation. Until then, God, give us joy. Give us strength. Give us wisdom and give us peace to walk through each day knowing that our destination is secure. We thank you for that. We ask your blessing on this offering. We are giving to you, God, out of a heart of obedience, out of a heart of love, out of a heart of gratitude for all that you do in our lives. We're giving to you, Lord. We're sowing our seed of faith, believing you'll take this seed and you'll do something with it in our lives. Bless everyone that sows a seed today. We'll give you honor and praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.